A good day for Major League Soccer as the Professional Soccer Referees Association ratified a new collective bargaining agreement, which brings an end to a month-long lockout that had seen MLS start its season with replacement referees. The pro refs could return to calling matches as soon as this coming weekend. So good news for Major League Soccer. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. What's next for Shohei Ohtani? Just a couple of days before Major League Baseball starts its season here in the United States, the Dodgers star met the media, strongly denied he had ever bet on baseball or any other sports. He was visibly emotional and claimed that he had been duped by his former translator and close friend. He said he had no knowledge of this gambling issue and first became aware on March 20th in South Korea, where the Dodgers held a team meeting in the clubhouse after their first of two games against the Padres in Seoul. So again, he claimed he just found out about all of this about a week ago. But this likely won't be the end of the story. Yes, Ohtani, the Dodgers, baseball, CAA Sports, which represents Ohtani, all want this behind him. But knowing how the media is focused on this story, there will be more and more digging into this to see if there are additional storylines not reported out yet. So keep your eye on this story as it will continue to be in the news. Let's move on. Add the Cleveland Browns to the teams who are looking at a future stadium investment, and they are happy that they have options. Browns owners Jimmy and Dee Haslam admitted they are exploring a dome stadium in Brook Park, Ohio, which is a suburb of Cleveland, close to about 20,000 residents. The Browns are also studying renovating existing Cleveland Browns Stadium in downtown Cleveland. Previously, the team said they were committed to renovating the downtown stadium that opened in 1999 when the expansion Browns were reborn. But the Haslams have kept their options open and now have the option to buy 176 acres at Brook Park, and that would be suitable to build a dome stadium. Now, the Haslams say they don't have a preference at this time, but they feel they have two potentially really good options where they could either do a major renovation or build a new dome stadium. So they're going to pursue both ideas. They hope to make their decision sometime in the next year, and this will add to that stadium building boom we are seeing. We've talked about, of course, Nashville. We've talked about Buffalo on the Buzzcast yesterday. We talked about Chicago and the Bears' plans to build adjacent to the current Soldier Field. And of course, there's still uncertainty where the Commanders land. So those are just in the NFL, but you are seeing many very interesting projects when it comes to future stadiums in the NFL. But there's more. As in Atlanta, construction is set to start on a $5 billion Centennial Yards project in downtown Atlanta. It would include a number of buildings, an entertainment district, a fan plaza. It would be opposite State Farm Arena and Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And they hope to get these components, or some of these components, open in time for the 2026 World Cup. There'll be a hotel and, of course, apartment towers, and this will really revamp downtown Atlanta. It's a 50-acre site. They've been planning it for years, and it should be very fan-friendly. Like I said, it's adjacent to both State Farm and Mercedes-Benz, a lot of open areas. Now, Centennial Yards is a partnership between a number of people, including Atlanta Hawks owners Tony Ressler and Grant Hill. So Tony Ressler has said the idea is to draw more people to live in downtown Atlanta, create an environment where people show up early and stay late. And this is a project that I've heard about for years. It is going to be quite impressive, and it's really going to benefit the Atlanta Hawks and Atlanta Falcons. You can check out the renderings on sportsbusinessjournal.com. you know, I missed this over the weekend, but another show of strength for women's sports as more than 32,000 fans were at Snapdragon Stadium for the San Diego Waves season opener Saturday night. That was the largest crowd to attend a season opener in the history of the 12-year-old NWSL. Yes, the largest crowd to attend a season opener in the 12-year-old NWSL. So the numbers continue to grow for the NWSL. Remember, this comes as the Wave will have new owners at the end of this season, following a sale that puts the club's value at north of $113 million. Yes, I find that figure just astounding. Ron Burkle, he will control the team till the end of this year. He'll sell it to Lauren Lightman and her husband, Arthur Levine. The sale could eventually be worth $120 million. That is significantly higher than the previous record sale of $63 million paid for the Portland Thorns. That was earlier this year. So again, so much interesting energy and investment around the NWSL. But we need to see more and more commercial deals support women's soccer, and we have to see more economies of scale come into the sport. But bottom line, the franchise values are seeing tremendous growth. The Oakland A's have hired legends to manage premium seating and ticket sales for the club's planned ballpark in Las Vegas. Remember, they have a target of 2028 for opening that facility. So legends comes in. They will really develop the concept, the plan, the strategy to sell premium and suite sales. It's a big win for Legends, who reportedly beat out both Elevate and Endeavor. Those were among the other agencies who responded to the RFP. Legends has a lot of familiarity with the Las Vegas market. They did a feasibility study for a new ballpark in the city. Legend sales team had previously worked with the Raiders on the opening at Allegiant Stadium, and the A's confirmed that Legend's knowledge of Las Vegas was an important factor in the team's decision. So Legends managing premium seating and ticket sales for the A's ballpark in Las Vegas. And we didn't mention this yesterday, but I still got a lot of text messages over the weekend and on Monday. The news surrounding LSU women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey. It was known that she's been fighting against a big piece that the Washington Post had been reporting on for some time. And she went public over the weekend with her opposition to it. She criticized the Washington Post. She criticized the reporter Kent Babb. She threatened to sue the company, saying that the publication had spent 2 years preparing a hit piece about her. And the Washington Post admitted they had been working on a piece on Mulkey for some time. She said she was fed up with the Post. She alleged they asked her some questions and wanted answers by the end of the week, a week in which she was preparing for the women's basketball tournament. Like I said, she added she would sue the Washington Post if they published a false story about her. And she claimed that she was one of those rare people who could hold journalists accountable, and she planned to if the piece wasn't truthful. So she has been known to call out critical reporting, but I'll just tell you, it's really rare that this type of dispute between a media company and a bold-faced name and a big high-profile personality becomes so public. So as of Tuesday, the Washington Post had not published anything about the LSU coach, but that's what we're keeping an eye on. When do they drop this piece? What's the tone of this piece, and how does she respond? Because she is certainly a high-profile coach in women's basketball. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, March 26. I'm Abe Madcore. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Wednesday.